This is Doug Miller. Is God against you or is he for you? Is he your enemy or is he your friend? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you again. The Word of God in hand, and we are in the book of Job, and I don't mind telling you, it is a troubling and a dark and a difficult book in many ways. If you wish to pick up the Bible and be comforted, I will remind you of something. There is comfort in the Bible, but there are troubling things in the Bible as well. Just a little word of personal testimony. Before I was ever saved, I knew that I was lost. I didn't know how to be saved. I picked up the Bible and started reading it. And brother, if I thought that I would be comforted, I found more condemnation in there. And it took the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. It took my believing that and being saved before I ever, this is just personal now, found a great deal of comfort in the Bible. But at any rate, we're going to look at the 23rd chapter of Job today. We finished up the 22nd last time and saw all of Eliphaz's condemnation and judgment that he rained down and heaped on Job. And we're going to look at Job now as he answers Eliphaz, and it's almost as if he is talking past Eliphaz, and we will see that when we get into it. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Job 23, verse 1, tell a friend, call them up, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for one reason, and that is to see this word go out as far out as we can get it to, as many as we can get it out to. And if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time, you have heard me say to this end, we require the prayers and the support of the Lord's people. If you are not saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved, then you need to be supporting Dialogue and other programs like it, and there are many out there. And mainly what I would ask is that you pray for Dialogue. Dialogue needs your prayers, so we cannot exist at all without the prayers of the people of God. I can get on here and make noise, but noise is about all that it will be. Without the prayers of the saints, this ministry can go nowhere. So please pray for Dialogue. Tell others about us. And we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. And Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you say, well, why should I write you? Well, why not? Let us hear from you. Let us know that you're out there. Any questions you have that we can answer, any help we can give you. And just to let us know where you are and whatever we can do for you. No strings attached, and I mean that very literally and truthfully. If you don't like to write with pen and paper, our email address is dialogueministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. And incidentally, Dialogue is spelled D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E. If you just put D-I-A-L-O-G, you won't get this place. Okay, so Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page, and that's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And you can hear the broadcasts on there, listen to them, or read about Dialogue. And we have not yet got up on the webpage our five sessions that we had in the recent conference that took place on April 27th. We haven't got them up yet, but we will get them up there. And you can listen to that ministry. If you wish to call and talk to me, the number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording, and you leave a message, and I will get back with you. Okay, I believe that does it for all of the preliminaries. Let's look into now Job 23 and see what Job has to say. And Job's answer, it's almost as if he is talking past Eliphaz. It's almost like he is talking directly to God, and he is talking directly to God, and he is complaining, and what he has to say is not exactly probably what he ought to be saying, but he is probably, if I were to hazard a guess here, talking to Eliphaz and looking at Eliphaz, but I don't think he has Eliphaz in mind. Let's see what he has to say. He answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." Well, who's he complaining to? Is he complaining to Eliphaz? Well, he has complained to his so-called friends. But I think at this point his complaint is really to God. And look at verse 3 and look at what he says here, and you can see it real clearly. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Well, Job, the psalmist, says that there is no place I could go to hide from him. You know, if I took the wings of the morning and dwelt in the uttermost part of the sea, if I made my bed in hell, if I ascended up to heaven, in the darkness or in the light, I can't get away from him. Job has got an interesting take on it here, doesn't he? He'd like to know where he can find God. Well, is God not aware of what is going on with Job? Of course he is aware. And yet, Job's complaint here seems to suggest that, where is God anyway? He's hiding from me. Well, Job, if you could find him, to what point? If you could come and stand before his throne or his seat, to what end? Look at verse 4. He tells you, "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." Look at this guy. Here is an amazing man. Amazing in that God has said of him, he is the most righteous man on the face of the earth. And yet what Job wants to do, if I read this correctly, is make accusations to God. That's not what he says, is it? What he says is, "I'd just like to find out what he's got against me. Why is he doing this?" But the implication is that what he is doing is wrong, and I would like to tell him so. I'd like to find out what it is he's got against me. Why is he coming down on me this way? Well, I'd like to just compare Job's attitude here with a man who called himself the chief of sinners. His name was Saul of Tarsus, and at some point he changed his name to Paul. And I will tell you, this guy Paul, if you're out there listening to me, you get with Paul and stick to him like glue. Because Paul was a man who started out in his career and in his life as a believer as being very self-righteous. Here is a man, and you can read of him in the third chapter of one of the letters he wrote, Philippians. And in that, he characterizes himself as being, according with so far as the righteousness which is in the law goes, as being perfect. Here was a man who kept all of the sayings of God as he understood them and lived this very strict life of a Pharisee. And yet, later on, in his second letter to Timothy, he characterizes himself as the chief of sinners, as the worst man who ever lived. And as you may have heard me say this on here before, and you're getting ready to hear me say it again, that's not Paul's humble estimation of himself. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, you put it down. And you get some insight, you gain some insight into this. This man who called himself the chief of sinners, this man who in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians said, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You get this some insight into why he said in Philippians 3, yes, I kept the law, but everything that was a gain to me then, I counted loss. It's just loss to me. It is, and he says in the King James translation, I count it but dung. Skubala is the Greek, something to be thrown out to the dogs. All of my self-righteousness. You know, Paul came to the end of himself. Am I talking to anyone out there who needs to come to the end of himself or herself? Am I talking to someone out there who is saying and likes to say, I'm just a pretty good guy, I think. I don't know what guys like you are talking about, Miller, when you talk about sin and sinfulness. Why, I don't commit sin. You had better take a closer look at yourself, friends. Because that attitude is precisely the one that Paul had, notice the past tense, and got rid of, and it's the one that Job has got right now. Job's attitude is that he is a pretty good guy and that he doesn't deserve any of this that he's got going on with him. And I'll tell you something. He's got a lot to learn. And Job is going to be brought to the end of himself. Right now, he's out here trying to figure, you know, he wants to find God and answer and talk to him. Look at this in let's pick it up in verse 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Dispute with God? What would I, you know, I'm thinking about myself. If I could come before God, and I will, what would I say to him? Once again, if I might be so bold as to just give you a little bit of my own testimony. When I got saved, prior to my getting saved, before the Lord saved me and changed my life, I became absolutely convinced that I was a lost sinner. I couldn't get away from the fact. And I knew very well, I was brought to a position of knowing that there is no way in the world I could stand before God and argue my case against God. I had no case to be made. I had sinned, and you know, be sure your sin will find you out, wrote Moses in the 32nd chapter of Numbers. Be sure your sin will find you out. Job hasn't gotten to that point yet, has he? He is still looking at himself as a pretty good guy, and he says here, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. That's interesting. And once again, I would ask you to compare that to what the psalmist wrote And it's a completely different thing that we get out of him. And in fact, I'm just thinking maybe we better go back and pick that up and read it. And we have here, and I am having some trouble finding it here. Yes, it's in the 139th Psalm. Here we go. Listen to the psalmist. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Listen to this now. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You see a difference in what this man says? And this, incidentally, is a psalm of David. You see a difference in what he says and what Job says? You remember in his sin, David tried to hide the truth from God, the truth about the adultery with Bathsheba and the murdering of Uriah. And when Nathan came in and said to him, thou art the man, David found out something. There's no hiding from God. God knew all along. Look at verse 13 of Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. And, I mean, you read this. What does this say about any of you out there who believe in abortion, who don't believe that babies are, in fact, humans, who don't believe that the abortionist is, in fact, murdering a baby human? I'd say you need to read this again. But let's go back to Job now. Do you see that Job here says he can't find God? David says, well, man, he's all around me. A big difference here. And yet, for all that Job says, I want you to look at verse 10. Boy, I want you to take this one in. If you forget everything else I said today, if you are, and once again, I wish to make sure we understand, if you are unsaved, your problem is not Job's problem. If you are unsaved, your problem is that you are rejecting the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think God is dealing with you in any way other than to bring you to Christ, you're mistaken. But if you are saved and you are going through difficult times, and make no mistake about it, friends, saved people go through difficult times just like unsaved ones do. The difference is that the Lord is working in the life of the saved person to beautify and perfect them and conform them to the image of His Son. And to the unsaved person, you'll live through trials, difficulties, tragedies, and misery, and it's all to no purpose, and you will die and go to hell if you are rejecting Christ Jesus. There's a big difference. However, let's look at what Job says in this 10th verse. I could almost, you know, get really put out with Job. But this 10th verse, this says a lot. He kind of redeems himself with this one. Look at it. He says here, he knoweth, but he knoweth rather, the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Wow. Job. This is wonderful. Thank you for saying that. One of my favorite verses right here in the Bible. Many times in difficulties and trials, I've laid hold on this one. And for those of you who are listening to me out there, I'd suggest you write this one down, because this one's worth remembering and holding on to. He knoweth the way that I shall take. Now, Job, this is interesting, because he knoweth the way that I take, rather. Job says, you know, I may not know what he's doing, but he knows what I'm doing. And he, I know that he's doing this, says Job, get it in the 10th verse here, he is trying me. He has got me in the fire, and I will come forth as gold. God's business and God's purpose is to take away the dross and to leave us as pure gold. And Job, you know, you got to love this guy, because he complains and he accuses God and he says a lot of things that he shouldn't say, and then he comes out with something like this. And I love the guy. And I, once again, if you you need to write this one down. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Verse 11, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not decline. And let's just go on and pick up some more of this, because in many ways this is true. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I don't know the words that Job had from God. Certainly, the written word, God had not communicated to Job through the written word, because the written word was yet in the future. If I read this Bible correctly, there was no law. Certainly, there was no New Testament. None of the prophets had written. And yet Job had something. God was communicating to him somehow. It may have been through the things that were passed down from his ancestors, and that would include Noah, wouldn't it? But he laid hold on the words that he had. You and I are much better off than Job in this regard, friends. We have the full and complete Word of God. We have the gospel that has gone forth. We have in this world the Holy Spirit to take the things of Christ and show them to us. You who are listening to me, can you say what Job said here? I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Friends, this is important, and it is what we should be concerned about. And as we come down to the end of this broadcast, I urge you, take God at his word, lay a hold on his word, and do not let it go. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.